Hello, this is Herman Cain.
Good feeling about this guy. He's going to do some great things.
Now, this is Talk Radio. Locally owned, locally operated, local talk on 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
That's what we do here. The Monica J. Show, 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley and 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910 or always at Monica at 991fmtalk.com. It is all about Northern Nevada. Doesn't matter if you live in Yerington and Hawthorne and Fernley and Fallon or right here in the heart of Reno or Carson City. It's all about Northern Nevada and how we work together and solve these problems that are coming directly from California. We have drug issues here. We have homeless issues. We have squatting issues. And they shouldn't be confused. You can't put everybody into one basket. We're all different. We all have different opinions. We all have different views. And it's understandable that sometimes we can't come to an agreement. Always feels like someone is fighting us on either side. One thing we can do is come together and celebrate the heritage of Northern Nevada. And I'm going to be speaking at a very special event at the Dangberg Ranch in the Carson Valley this Saturday. Please get your tickets. October 12th, it happens from noon to 4. It is the Douglas County Heritage Days Heritage Barbecue. Kokomo's Barbecue is going to be down there feeding everybody. Tickets are just $55.95, and you're going to get live entertainment from the Comstock Cowboys. You're going to have a great time visiting a beautiful area, a piece of history for Northern Nevada, the gorgeous Dangberg Ranch, and you're going to be getting to listen to some interesting speakers. Me, you know what I have to say. But a very interesting speaker who is going to be there is none other than Bill Whalen. And the reason that I want to bring this up is because he is my very special guest right now. He is a Virginia Hobbs Carpenter Fellow in Journalism, also the Hoover Institution, does research and has since 1999. He writes and comments on campaigns, elections, and governance with an emphasis on California and America's political landscapes. And since we neighbor with California, we see what's going on there and we pay attention to what's going on in California because what happens in California has a tendency to happen in Nevada. Even though we have the saying, "Don't California our Nevada." No Californication over here. Please welcome Bill Whalen, my guest today. Bill, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Monica. Glad to be with you.
And thank you for agreeing to speak at the Heritage Days in Douglas County this weekend. I can't wait for your talk.
I'm looking forward to it also because I'm going to drive over, and I think it's going to be kind of a therapeutic drive, if you will. It's only 200 miles from Palo Alto to over to your neck of the woods, but you talk about going into a different part of America, and that's kind of the beauty of this country. If I were to hop in a car in Washington, D.C. and drive 220 miles north, I'd be in New York City, no real difference there, but you live in the Bay Area and you drive 220 miles to the east, you're in a much freer part of America, and I just plan to bask in freedom that day.
Well, that's what we're kind of having a problem with right now, though, Bill, is our freedoms, we see them being taken away here, and we see so much of California being influenced in Nevada, not only in Las Vegas. We have a Democrat who is serving, hopefully, a very short term as governor with Governor Sisolak, who is relying a lot on Mr. Steyer from California, not only helping with money for his causes, but right. When it comes to gun control and illegal immigration, we see a lot of things being mirrored here. But Bill, something I wanted to talk to you about, especially for the fact that you follow so many of the campaigns, is the fact that people really don't pay attention to what's going on before a general election. We had Clay, who actually called in earlier in the show and voted for the mayor that we have here in Reno, because he didn't really know. Is that a problem just here in smaller communities, or is this just pretty much apathy across the country?
It's a problem across the country. So California is a good example of this. We have a Secretary of State who is our chief elections official. That's not to be confused with Mike Pompeo. It's the California Secretary of State, Monica. And his or her job is to monitor elections in California. And part of that responsibility includes getting a voter guide to voters. And the state really just kind of kills itself, both giving you information. It's a thing is like a doorstop when it arrives on your doorstep. And then the state also makes it very easy to vote, to show up on election day, to vote early. I have a vote by mail option. A lot of Californians are turning to this. But you'd be surprised how many Californians just don't pay attention to things. And lo and behold, an election comes. There was a special election down in Los Angeles a couple of months ago, Monica, about a parcel tax, which is a property tax, to be raised in Los Angeles, the purpose going to fund local schools. The turnout there was under 20%, one in five Californians. Now, you can talk about a lot of the factors there. It's summertime. People go on vacation. They're distracted. But folks just aren't paying attention. And then lo and suppose, you know, then they get upset by the outcome of the election. How did this person get elected? Why did that measure fail? It's because people just weren't paying attention. And so I think this is part of the trick for improving the democratic process in this country and maybe making people feel better about the times we live in. People just have to become much more engaged in politics at the root level.
Bill, is that just personal responsibility? Because we do really make it as easy as possible. Because here in Nevada, we have the same problems. We have same-day voter registration now, where you can just go register and vote on the same day. We have early voting by 3 weeks now. And we have the mail-in ballot that you can do. It used to be called the absentee ballot. Now it's just mail-in or vote on the day of election. We give people so many opportunities, yet they still don't do it. And then they blame everything else but themselves.
Yeah, I think, look, I think it's a function of two things. Number one, we live in a cynical age where it's very fashionable to be apathetic, to say, well, I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like Hillary Clinton. I'm just not going to vote. And I don't think that was the case generations ago, where people would take their ballot very seriously. And maybe that has something to do with Monica with being much closer to being new to this country and being more appreciative of having the ability to vote. But secondly, also the way elections are covered and watched in this day and age. Again, it's a very cynical process where the media just spend a lot of time not building up candidates, but tearing them down. That does not really incite people to vote. So again, the question is how to get people excited about the process. Well, in part, you're at the mercy of the candidates. You have to find somebody who quickens your pulse in some way. But second, I think people just have to view this as a civic obligation. I'm not saying we should go the way of Australia and make this mandatory, but I think people have to understand that the ballot is a very important piece of paper that you have, or you know, electronically, however you do it, and that is just not something you should gloss over, ignore, or choose not to use if you want to, that you should have a voice in this democracy, which then I think has the effect of, if you're going to say, okay, I'm going to vote, by goodness, I better start paying attention to my choices. That gets you reading your voter pamphlet. That gets you going to local organizations like the Saturday barbecue that you mentioned, and just gets you more involved in the process. And I just don't see how that could be bad for our country to get more people involved.
Well, I wonder about that, Bill, because to get people involved, you have to go through this process now where every little bit of information that could possibly be on you out there, from your tweets, your Facebook posts, are going to be dug up and used, not necessarily for you, but used against you. And people just don't want to go through that.
Well, they don't, Monica, but, you know, that's a two-way street. My job at the Hoover Institution, as you mentioned, I write a lot about politics and policy. I studied the system, but almost without fail before an election, somebody comes to me and wants to meet me, and they want to talk about running for office. And we have a conversation about it. It's the same ilk of people. They've made a ton of money in life. They're restless. They're in their 40s or 50s and want to do something next. Politics beckons their call, probably in part because everybody's telling them not to do it, and so their competitive gene kicks in. And so what I do is I say, okay, if you're serious about running for office, here's a pencil and a piece of paper. Write down on that piece of paper the name of the last person you want to see in print talking about you. So in the case of Monica J, let's say the person who you don't want to see in print hates Monica J because she takes 18 items into a 15 or less, you know, laying at the grocery store. You're probably good to go for running for office. But let's say that the last name Monica J wants to see in print is a Holocaust survivor who Monica J ripped off in a Ponzi scheme. Probably shouldn't run for office. The point I'm making is that, yes, the press does dig into all aspects of your life, but consider how many people who run for office with these considerable skeletons in their closet, and what are they thinking? This stuff is just never going to emerge. So, you know, if you've done some tawdry things in your past, maybe you shouldn't be getting involved in the process.
It's comical because we're seeing even more stuff come out about Elizabeth Warren now, about things that she's said and is contradicting now, and
She is Monica, but that appears to me to be a self-inflicted wound where she's out on the campaign trail saying something that it's not accurate. She's trying to portray herself in a much more sympathetic way. So, you know, remember Al Gore had this problem back when he ran for president in 2000 against George Bush. He had this habit of what we call it in time, not lying, but embellishing, where he would have you believe that he found out the problem at Love Canal. He invented the internet and so forth. You know, politicians sometimes hang themselves. It's a very, 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 you know, funny tick, idiosyncrasy some politicians have, Monica, where they so badly want to connect with their voters. They so badly want you to relate to you and admire you that they embellish their life story. And, you know, again, if you have that habit of doing that, you probably shouldn't run for office because sooner or later it's going to come back to get you. I'd point out, unless you're Donald Trump, who does seem to have unusual Teflon with this, but the average politician, no.
So what you're saying, Bill, is we need more honest people to run for office.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that we should have a bunch of people living in monasteries until they're 45 years old to run for office. But this does maybe suggest that you need to think about living cleanly and the choices you make in life. And if you make choices in life that maybe, you know, the average person is not going to relate to, then maybe you should not be trying to track down a job whose whole purpose is to try to get the average person to relate to you so as to vote for you. So, again, this is why this whole thing is complicated. Yes, it's easy. It's easy to tear down the way politics are conducted in terms of we go out and destroy people. It's easy to bash the media. But it also, you know, it's a two-way street again, Monica, and that politicians, people who are running for office, need to think carefully about whether or not they should be running. Because we do, whether we want to admit to or not, we do look up to politicians. We do look at them with great curiosity. They are celebrities in many respects. We all think, gosh, wouldn't I like to be president for a day or a week or a year? So you should be taking this job seriously if you're running for it. Understand it's not just an honorific that you have, but also people are putting their hopes in you and their values in you. And if you don't reflect those, you're letting down a lot of people.
So what are you going to treat us with on Saturday at the Douglas County Heritage Barbecue?
I want to talk about something that happened on October 12th a long time ago, and that is Christopher Columbus landing somewhere in the Bahamas. We think the island of San Salvador. And here's why I want to talk about Admiral Columbus, because growing up as a youth, Columbus Day was a holiday, and we studied Columbus in school, and we all learned the poem in 1492, Columbus Sailed the Ocean Blue. Christopher Columbus is now a bad man in the public school system. He is vilified for treatment of Native Americans, the conquistadors' conquering of the New World. And Columbus Day is fast disappearing. In cities in California, it's now Native Indigenous Day. And what I want to talk about is that this represents, in large parts, lost culture, number one, that you're doing away with traditions. Secondly, when you engage in this game of political correctness, you may be trying to reach out to Native Americans and make them feel better about their lot in life. You're also punishing, in this case, Italian-Americans who came to this country and take Columbus from Genoa very seriously. So it's not, you know, it's not an innocent game in that regard. And then I want to talk from that about this is what gave rise to Donald Trump in 2016, because, yes, he talked about immigration. Yes, he had the wonderful nemesis that was Hillary Clinton. But also Donald Trump talked about political correctness and about America was fast disappearing. And to me, the vanishing of Columbus Day is just a good example of this.
Boy, we see statues taken down. We see murals being painted over in California of George Washington and history. And you're absolutely right. Our history
I'll give you another example, Monica. I'm from the East Coast originally. I went to a small college in Virginia called Washington and Lee University, co-named after George Washington, who founded an academy there in the mid-1700s, and Robert E. Lee, of course, the Confederate general. That's a twofer, if you will, in political correctness, because Washington was a slaveholder. You mentioned the mural in San Francisco that is going to be whitewashed. and Robert E. Lee on you know, Say No More. But here's the problem, though. You start taking away these people, and kids don't know their history. It's a very funny thing. I worked for the governor of California years and years ago, and I'd have interns for the summer, and I would sit down and I'd quiz the interns on history. What a jerk I was. And what I found from a California perspective, that they really knew very little about American history before 1850 when California became a state. They didn't really understand the Founding Fathers. They didn't understand the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. They didn't understand separation and republic. That's why you have so many people running around, I think, incorrectly saying that we need a pure democracy when, in fact, we're a republic and it's a balance of power. You do away with this heritage and this tradition and this culture, Monica, and, you know, this country just loses its foundation, getting back to the conversation about grassroots. So that's what I want to talk about on Saturday, just this kind of vanishing culture, but also why it has fueled Donald Trump.
Oh, Bill Whalen, I am so excited to get to hear you speak on Saturday and to meet you. And please drive safely and enjoy the surroundings. You are going to have a wonderful, relaxing drive over. And who knows, you might not want to go back to Palo Alto after being here in Northern Nevada for a little bit.
John, please. Don't tempt me.
Bill Whalen, thank you so much, and thank you for talking to us today. KKFT, it's the Monica Jay Show. We will be back with more, including your calls, at 884-9910 right after this on 99.1 FM Talk. Their vehicles and dumped whatever they wanted to get rid of from around their house. What some recycling places won't take, old computers, old televisions. Ask yourself why some of these recycling places won't take these things. Why is that? Because there are chemicals in them in the manufacturing process that are harmful. And so they can't be recycled. They have to be destroyed. So what does that say about a person who, rather than taking the time to find out who will take these items, the big screen TVs, the old TVs, the old computers, now we'll just take it out into the desert and shoot it up. Okay, now you have shattered glass on the ground that is a mule deer migration area. I know it doesn't look like it, but if you actually drive around our beautiful desert, you drive around Peavine Mountain, you go all the way around, go to the California side, go all the way around it, guess what? There are beautiful water sources up there. It's not just a bunch of dirt and plants. It's its own ecosystem. What does that say about people who are willing to go out and shoot things up, leave their shotgun shells or their brass behind, and not clean up after themselves? Are you just as bad as the people who will pull down their pants in public and take a squat on the sidewalk? I have to ask myself, yeah, maybe. It's trash. It's disgusting any way you look at it. We have designated dumps. We have trash cans. We have trash bags. We have people that are willing to carry trash bags in their car, and when they see something, they'll get out and they'll pick it up. But we also have city and county regulations that forbid you from getting out of your car and picking things up, because that is union work, and our workers need to go out and do it and be safe. You can't just stop on the side of the road and pick trash up. That's NDOT's job. But what about all the people who are sitting in jail who aren't doing anything? All of the homeless people who are just cited and nothing happens to them. There are better solutions for our community. We just have to get the elected representatives to sit down with people who have solutions and make it happen. And maybe that does just happen around Election Day. It's up to you. We are the home of Fox News here at the Monica Jay Show and KKFT, so let's do this at 11:30 on 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show, live and local for all of Northern Nevada at 884-9910. Got a couple of calls hanging on the line. Get right to you. Also, Monica at 991FMTalk.com. Just in case you don't feel comfortable going on the air, I still want to hear your thoughts, and I want to know what you're concerned about. This is what I'm concerned about. I want you to think about this. It's a sad day when an American president has to fight an American government to protect the American people. Let that sink in. Let's go to the phone lines and check in with Dave this morning. Hi, Dave. What would you like to talk about?
Hi, Monica. Thank you for taking my call. You said something a little bit earlier. I was listening, and you said, as goes California, so goes Nevada, which is not a good thing. And then you were talking about all the garbage and the junk and all that stuff. Well, it kind of triggered something with me and the topic of solar power. And I just want to share some things real quick, if you don't mind, just for the listeners and hear a little bit of information that if they're deciding to do solar power, what they need to look at. I used to be involved in solar power in California because I was heating and cooling, and the company did the same thing, so I got involved with it. So I do my homework when it comes to that. And solar power, here's the bottom line. It takes more energy to produce a solar power panel, takes more materials and energy than what that will produce in its lifetime. That's number one. Number two is there's only two companies in the United States that make panels, solar panels. And of course, they're more expensive. Everything else comes from China. China, and so everybody buys China panels because they're cheaper from these companies. And of course, they push them because they're cheaper. But, and then they say China gives, you know, the manufacturers give a 20-year warranty or whatever. Well, that sounds great. But the Chinese companies make such a low-quality product that they last anywhere from 5 to 8 years maximum, sometimes less. But those companies go out of business on a regular basis and open up under a new name. So all warranties are void, null and void. Course, the
now, a lot of industries actually do that.
Sure, they do. But here's what the problem is. The problem is there is not, solar panels are not considered recyclable. So nobody wants to take them because you mentioned about chemicals and stuff. Well, nobody wants to take those because they're not, there's no value of recycle there. So in turn, right. If you go over in California, you can go all over and see dead solar panels on the roof. They're just staying there, laying there, and they're dead, and they don't replace them. There's the money involved. And so you're seeing them all over. Well, over here, it's coming. It's already started. And I just want the listeners to understand that the two American companies, one is SunPower in California, makes a very high-quality product, but you're going to pay more for it. But if any other panels, you want to make sure they're not Chinese-made because you're going to pay dearly in the long run for them, and you won't be able to dispose of them. And now, when they do dispose of them, where are they going to dump them? They're going to dump them in BLM land. They're going to dump them wherever. That's my comments on it.
Dave, thank you so much for saying that, because that's what I was trying to get to as well, because when you have all that broken glass and plastic out in the desert, you have to remember that the wildlife is eating it, they're stepping on it, they're being wounded by it, those wounds are getting infected. I mean, it's going to be an ongoing process that we're going to see, that we are not only destroying just the environment out there, shooting this stuff up, we've got to pick this stuff up to protect the wildlife as well. So,
sure.
Dave, thank you so much for pointing that out. That is a great observation. Yeah, we need to figure out proper disposal. And that's not just, you know, taken to the dump. We need more than that. So, Dave, thank you so much for the call. And you know you are always welcome to call anytime. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with... I guess he's yelling at his radio listening to me. Let's check in with Clint this morning, who wants to give me an earful. Hi, Clint. What do you want to talk about?
How you doing, Monica? And it's not you I want to give an earful to. I mean, I've been yelling at this radio, and I've had to calm down before I can call. So, I went out with you guys yesterday, and I saw all this crud out there. And now I'm hearing these people, they want to take out things to them. These people out there do not want help. They want handouts. And if you give them handouts, they're going to stay right where they are. These people should get nothing. And if people can call me, oh, you're a heartless dude or whatever, I don't care. It's exactly what it should be done. They get nothing until they want to take help. If you're going to go out there and give them blankets, you're going to go out there and give them stuff, you are just making sure that that's where they solidify their area. Oh, you know, all you're telling them is it's okay for us to be out here. Now you're going to bring us out things. Now you're going to hand us out things. Hey, we're going to be here forever now because we're just getting handouts. They don't want no help. We tried to give two gentlemen out there the cards. One of them threw them back at him and says, I don't want that. They don't want help. They want handouts. And it's just like all this, you know, it's like a stray dog. You feed it, it's going to keep coming back. You feed it, you're going to keep coming back. If you don't feed it, hey, there's nothing here for me to get. I'm going to leave. And if they don't take the help, then they have to go, period. And then I hear the law enforcement talking about, well, you know, on the interview that they had down there, that certain missions are like being in prison. Well, here's an idea. Instead of building up a new mission, why don't you go in there, clean it out, find out why it's acting like that, and then take care of it. And then you can say, turn it over to someone else and say, okay, now we're going to run it this way. And we're going to keep checking up on it and make sure it doesn't turn into a prison. Instead of building these, you know, these monstrosities for homeless people that cost, you know, taxpayers a whole bunch of money, go in there and clean out what you need to get cleaned out. And Paul, you know, brought up a good question to him. These missions are not always full every night. He checked them out the night before, and they're like, well, yeah, well, we don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. It doesn't matter if you don't know about it at all. These things are not full. So there is beds available for these people to go to. They don't want to go to it because they have rules in those places. They don't want to follow the rules. And it shows them being out there in the middle of nowhere, dumping everything, taking squats where they want to. And for the guy that was in the government, that was on your a couple callers before, if he wasn't out there, the guy needs to shut his mouth. Because I saw the shotgun shells next to the guy's RVs. I saw all the burnt out RVs. They didn't bring them up there burnt out. They didn't bring the cars up there burnt out. They burnt them out in the spot. And, I mean, you got you have a baby up there that's being sleeping in a tent. Well, where's CSS? The child services, where are they at? I mean, we need to get those up there. Humane Society. I mean, those pit bulls that were on the short chain underneath the thing, they need to be taken care of. You know they're not taking care of them dogs. So, I mean, you can't give these people anything. You cannot give them nothing. The people downtown, they cannot give them money. You give them money, they want more. They need to get help, not a hand out, period. And if I'm being heartless, fine, I'm being heartless. You said once before, tough love is the best
Clint,
kind of love.
You're not being heartless. You are being realistic. And unfortunately, that's what some people have to hear. Now, don't get me wrong. Good for the Misfits. And I actually found the name. It's Reno Misfit Crew. For them to collect donations and want to, you know, help individuals, that's wonderful. For some people, that's what they feel that's the only thing that they can do. People in the government don't listen to them.
Give it to the mission.
But let me take a breath and let me finish what I was saying.
It's just as an email that I got.
Just as you were thinking, you cannot give things to individual people. You need to give them to organizations who have the manpower and who also have the resources that as they hand somebody a blanket or some shampoo or something, that can give them the cards and say, these people can do this for you, these people can do that for you. And then if they choose not to go out and seek out these services, then you know this is just the lifestyle that they have chosen. And what is going to happen with all those little shampoo bottles? What are going to happen with all those deteriorated blankets is just once again wind up in the trash and the squalor that they are living in. People have to understand that, yes, you want to give back, but these are chosen lifestyles. And if they are committing a crime, if they are squatting on private property, if they are 2 months on BLM property, which you're only allowed 2 weeks, and then you need to move outside a 25-mile radius, look this up, people. It's right there on their website. Then those people need to be incarcerated. You have to have consequences. Go ahead.
Now, here's the other issue. When we talked to those gentlemen up there, they said that Washoe County came up there and told them it was all right. Now, I'm kind of leaning towards the idea that the guy's lying completely. But if that is true, then that Washoe County deputy needs to lose his job or her job right now. They have no right to tell them that they are okay on private property. Because they had just told us when we were down there that they can't do anything without a written documentation, you know, saying from the private property owner that they can't kick them off until then. Well, and then so in turn, that officer cannot give them permission to be on someone else's property. So if that did happen, that Washoe County sheriff or Reno Police Department or whatever it was needs to be fired completely. They have no right to open their mouth. They need to be up there. They need to be kicking them out because it is private property. Now, I've been on private property before on accident, and I've had cops called on me, not by the property owner, by the other people, and they escorted me off. And I was like, hey, I understand. I'm getting off. But so what's good for the goose has to be good for the gander, period. They can't be putting on blinders to this and going, well, we don't want to see it because if we don't see it, then it's not going to happen. You know, I can't see you, so you can't see me. That's bull crap.
Yeah.
You know,
law enforcement has to enforce the law. Plain and simple.
So, I mean, seeing all that stuff yesterday, I mean, that's just, I wanted to puke. The burned out, the urine and the feces smell, locking people out of their own property. And putting up signs saying no trespassing. I mean, come on. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that. That's not right.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that criminal activity, drug manufacturing or selling, something is going on up on that property, and it needs to be looked into. When the property owner, for some reason or another, when a property owner is terrified and cannot go on to their own property, that is a problem. And we're just going to see it get bigger. So, Clint, thank you so much for the call, and thank you for being out there yesterday. It is so important for people to understand, to make a difference, you've got to see it for yourself. You've got to believe it for yourself that this is happening. It's KKFT 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley and 99.1 FM Talk.
Is FM Talk.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor boy.
What a great song. Oh, love that. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Smith and Mason Valley. We are taking over Northern Nevada. 884-9910 is always the number to call between 10 and noon every weekday to get your voice heard. Now, before we sign off today, I just want to remind you, we're winning the little battles. We are. People are starting to wake up. In all communities. A couple of national things here quickly. A teacher allegedly displayed a graphic saying with the Confederate flag that the Confederate flag, if you display it on your vehicle, pretty much shouts out to everyone that you intend to marry your sister. I was a Georgia teacher who showed that in a PowerPoint presentation to a classroom. A sticker you put on the back of your pickup truck to announce that you intend to marry your sister. Think of it as like a white trash save the date card. How is that a little win? Because that teacher has been placed on administrative leave. So how nice is that? You might have heard the story that Ellen DeGeneres and President Bush were seen along with their prospective spouses watching a sporting event. The problem with the left is they were enjoying their time together. They were laughing, teasing, watching the game. And now Ellen, who everybody knows is pretty much on the progressive left, is getting backlash. Why is that? Because that is what they want. They want division between you and me. They want division between the left and the right. They want to be completely separate Twix bars. There's no friendships. There's no laughing and joking. We see that in the comedy clubs now. Thank goodness for Chappelle. Love Dave Chappelle, always have. But that is their whole program. Obama, Sharpton, Jackson, Farrakhan, the list goes on. AOC, Omar. They don't want you associating. You cannot have Democrat friends. You cannot have Republican friends. Is that really the world you want to live in? I want to be able to sit down with my friends who are into environmentalism, who go out and want to clean up. I want to be friends with my friends who are more into women's health care than I am. Don't let them divide us. We all can compromise on something. It's the Monica Jay Show on KKFT.